Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Carlos Martinez.
And I'm Megan Rickson.
And, you know, we're just, we're two advisors in the Career Center here at Grand Valley. And lately we were talking about creating something new for the office, something that can help us reach more students, employers, alumni. And, you know, we're both big fans of podcasts, decided to give this thing a go.
That's right.
For those of you who aren't too familiar with what a podcast is, what it consists of, pretty much just a conversation. Some of you might be, you know, big listeners, just like the two of us. But if you're not, just know it's something that you can download right to your phone. There's through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher. Yeah. So sure. To be honest with you, when this first episode comes out, I'm not exactly sure which one of these platforms we'll be on. But the goal is that, you know, over the next few weeks, for sure, by the end of the semester, we're going to be on all the major ones. Some of these just take a little longer than others. So bear with us a bit. You'll always be able to find the link on our website, though. That's for sure. So what can you expect? You know, with this podcast, it's pretty much just conversations. One of the things that we realize is throughout the years when we're speaking with students, it's the same questions that tend to come up, right? Similar questions, different experiences. And this is one cool way to kind of document some of those real common ones. Yeah. And let it just live online.
Yeah. And I will say we used to do a lot of workshops, and we still do workshops. We still will have a resume workshop. We still will be doing different events where we teach you how to talk to employers. But we thought the podcast was a cool way to maybe spread some of this information a little bit more broadly. We would love if you can spend your time traveling from Allendale to downtown, if you're riding the 50, to take some time to listen to some of the advice, to hear from some of these guests that we're going to be bringing in throughout the semester, who really have a good perspective to share, either as a student, as a staff member in the office, and as employees. As well.
Yeah. And if for some reason as you're listening you think, hey, I have some questions, have some concerns, honestly, just email us. The best way would be careers@gvsu.edu, and it'll get forwarded right to one of us or another advisor, and we'll be more than happy to talk about it a bit more with you one-on-one. If it's a question we get a lot, we might even start giving shout outs without your actual name, of course, and answering right. It through the podcast also. Yeah. So overall, just make sure you share with a friend. Once you download it, you'll get all the upcoming episodes. And if you don't want to listen to it, honestly, just delete it and listen to the next one. If it's a topic you're not too interested in, the school year's getting started though. Right. And with that comes some changes. So we wanted to give you just a couple quick little highlights of what to expect, what's new, different in our office before jumping into that first interview.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the biggest things that hopefully you've heard some word about or maybe engaged with this new system is Handshake. So for those of you who have been a student at Grand Valley before, you might have been familiar with Laker Jobs. We have now replaced Laker Jobs with Handshake, and we think you'll be pretty happy with the change that we've made. This system is just a lot more user-friendly. You, for one, will actually be able to access Handshake on your phone through the app. So go out and download that right away. But if you're accessing it on your computer as well, feel free to just pop over to our website, gvsu.edu/careers is our main Career Center website, which you'll be able to log into Handshake directly from our homepage, or gvsu.edu/handshake to get directly to our Handshake page. A lot of cool features in Handshake. So that's where you're going to be able to see all of the upcoming events that we have in the Career Center. So anything that we might reference throughout the podcast, if you're looking for more information, Handshake is going to be a good spot to check, especially when it's events where employers are actually going to be joining us at those events. You'll be able to go in and see which companies, which organizations will be there. So that's pretty nice. This, of course, then also is where we're posting jobs, both on campus and off campus, professional positions. So more career type positions that you would be looking for after you graduate, and then internships as well. So pretty much it runs the whole gamut of what you would be able to apply for both while you're a student and then after you graduate as well. So definitely be getting in Handshake. We encourage all students to get in there. You actually already have an account, but we want you to be logging into that account using your same login that you use to log into a computer on Grand Valley's campus. And then once you're in, make sure you complete your profile, because you're actually 5 times more likely to be found by an employer on Handshake. They can actually access your profile just like a LinkedIn profile once you make that public. So we really encourage that you have a complete profile. Put in your job history, put in your major, maybe put in some of your class projects. Those are all really good things to include. So we're excited about Handshake and hope you find that it's easy to use and gives you access to a lot of information as well.
And this does replace the old Laker Jobs.
Yes, Laker Jobs is totally gone. So if you're
a big fan of Laker Jobs, what we're actually finding from a lot of students is that Handshake is much more user-friendly.
Definitely.
And they're a bit more excited about this platform. Another change coming to our office is on the meetings that we used to call Time for Tens. Right? So for those of you who've been here a while, you know that you can come into our office, quick little 10-minute conversation on resume, career-related questions, interviewing, etc. And you can still do that, but we're just moving towards a little different model just called Career Lab. So you can do the same thing, except you'd be coming into our office, and it's more of like a co-working space. It might be you, a couple other students, and some of our staff members, just kind of working, interacting, going around, and working with you while you're working on your project.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we hope that you feel the space is more usable for you, that you can come in and hang out and get things done. And there will either be a career advisor checking in with you. We have really well-trained student staff called our Career Connectors who might also be helping out. But essentially, we want you to come in, feel really comfortable to be able to really get going on your resume, not feel like you have to talk to someone for 10 minutes, run away, and then come back. Feel free to bring your laptop, come in, and be able to use that space and work, but get help along the way. As Carlos said, just those simple questions. We love that when students come in with those career questions, no matter how big or how small. We would love to get you started in the Career Lab. So that's going to be Monday through Friday, so every day of the week. From 11 to 4, and that's on both campuses. So both on the second floor of Student Services and downtown in DeVos 101B.
All right. So, you know, we got business out of the way.
That's right.
And I'm not a fan of saying that the business part is boring, but I do think it's important. But the truth is that's not what the podcast is about. And so without further ado, I won't waste any more of your time. We've got Troy Farley, who's the director of the Career Center, as our first guest. And he's not just on because he's the director. He's just a great personality, an awesome perspective. And you know, everyone who meets him loves him. So we hope you enjoy and join us next time as well. All right, so welcome, everybody. This is Carlos Martinez, and I'm here with...
Hi, everyone. I'm Megan Rickson.
And you know, we're real excited. It's the first interview of the show. If we were successful, we probably just gave you a little intro about what it's all, you know, going to be about this semester. Our first guest is somebody who we're extremely excited about, probably because we work with him and he signs our paychecks. But Troy Farley, he's the director of the Career Center from the UP, and honestly, we're just going to get to know him a little better today. How are you doing, Troy?
I am doing great, Carlos and Megan.
Thanks so much for coming on. We're excited to hear your story today.
And I'm excited to tell it.
All right. So, you know, let's just kind of go back at a very basic level. Who are you? Where are you from? How did a guy from the UP end up in Grand Rapids?
Wow. That's a loaded question. I know we have somewhat of a time constraint, but I'll start with born and raised in a small town of the UP called Manistique, and really unique town. The town is basically a town that was very blue collar. Either your father was a miner or worked in the paper mill. My father happened to be a miner. And it's really interesting, too, is back when I went to school, I graduated high school in 1983, But back when I was in junior high, when you started signing up for classes as a freshman, if your dad was a minor or worked in the paper mill, there was probably a good chance they would talk you into taking voc ed classes. So basically, they were going to assume you're going to probably go work in the mine or work in the paper mill. For me, it was mining. And so for 4 years, I had very little. I had zero college prep courses, but I had an electrical course. I had a building construction course. So I had courses that really prepped me for the vocation mm-hmm. versus higher ed. Decided my senior year based on a phone call from Coach Klinger. He was the track coach at Grand Valley. Happened to win the UP state final, had some good times, and out of nowhere I get this phone call about Grand Valley. And I had heard of the school, but knew very little about it. And decided.
How far away was that from home?
Well, it was, you know, back then the speed limit was 55 miles an hour. Yeah. So obviously that added some time. But it was about a 6-hour drive.
Okay.
And yeah. What was interesting, Megan, is that at the time I said, hey, I'll go to this school called Grand Valley, it was kind of signed unseen. And any literature, keep in mind this is 1982 or 83,
yeah.
before the internet.
So before I was born.
Before you were born, Carly.
Yeah.
So I couldn't look up the school. There was a lot of information other than what you would see. And I remember right. seeing the picture of the, I think it was the at the time, the Amway building. The only tall building in Grand Rapids. And so I thought Grand Valley was in a city.
Oh.
And so I thought I was leaving the small town of Manistique to move to Grand Rapids, Michigan, home of Grand Valley State. At the time, college, not even university.
That's right.
And I'll never forget because the first time I visited the school was orientation. We didn't do a visit. My folks just didn't travel, so we didn't do a visit. And we drove down 131. And then we kind of bypassed the city and hit Lake Michigan Drive and started heading west. And it was somewhat of a really sinking feeling on my stomach because it started to look more like the UP than I thought. And we arrived on Allendale's campus. Back then, it truly was surrounded by cornfields on three sides. Yeah, it was a small school. Yeah. I think there was probably 6,000 students when I started.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I worked 4 years in admissions, and what you just expressed still happens to students today, right? My territory was the thumb area of Michigan. So for us, that meant anywhere from around roughly Bay City, Midland, all the way down to like Port Huron County. I would visit all those small towns, and students would come from those areas and tell me the same things, even though I had just told them that there are two campuses, and they still experience that shock, which is interesting. So technology doesn't solve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So you get to Grand Valley. Did you know anyone here? How'd you pick a major? Did you have a career in mind? How does that process work out for you?
So ironically, I had a good friend in high school by the name of George Bosonic, and he was in the exact same position as me. He got a call from the football coach about being a walk-on. And so we both decided kind of together, let's go to the school called Grand Valley State University. So we roomed together, which really was, I think, instrumental, having that bond with somebody from a town, small town you could relate to. We were both first-gen college students. And I would say it was the strength of the relationship that kept our freshman year somewhat successful, where we were both many times that freshman year contemplating not coming back our sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. And what were the reasons for that? The academics of it?
I think it was a combination. Mm-hmm. I'll speak for myself, not George, but on the academic side, I did not have the college prep courses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think academically it was really hard for me. At the time, Grand Valley did not have all the student support services we have now. And if they did,
right.
I wasn't in a position to go looking for them.
Right. That's tough.
Yeah, and there are many students who are the C students, the B students, that feel that because they're not getting those A's, that it's it means that they're not better, or it means that they're not smarter. When a lot of times it's just that their experiences before getting to Grand Valley were a little different, right? A lot of rural schools, a lot of inner city schools won't have the same resources as maybe some of the schools in the suburbs. And we know that the experiences that you are all feeling, at least those of you who are undergrads listening, they're actually really normal. You're not the only one in that boat. And sometimes just, you know, checking in, talking to someone on campus, academic advisor can make all the difference in the world. So Troy, you know, was this the buddy that we all hear about? You would get into some experiences with at Grand Valley?
So, you know, Carlos, so the answer is yes, it is the buddy. And I think the experiences you're talking about, if I reflect back in those days, you know, you call them experiences, I call them trouble.
I was being nice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But you know, and when I say trouble, you know, I'm very proud of the fact that it wasn't alcohol, it wasn't drugs, it wasn't vandalism. It was more we were bored out of our mind. And we decided to you know, play some what we thought were at the time fun pranks, but obviously they weren't as fun as we thought. You know, we thought maybe doing a little deer hunting on Grand Valley's campus would be a good thing to do to kind of pass
were
our boredom.
Deer?
There was a lot of deer at Grand Valley's campus. Right. Unfortunately, and you know, you shouldn't hunt where you're not supposed to hunt.
Right.
And so what happened when you started hunting anyway?
So before I talk about the hunting, let me you mentioned a question about, you know, picking majors in the previous question we didn't get to.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting coming from a career services perspective. I didn't know what I wanted to major in. And my first year, you know, I had a lot of the gen ed required classes, and nothing really clicked. Nothing seemed to be connected. But I think it's because I wasn't willing to be connected. Mm-hmm. I was kind of this isolated lifestyle. I'd go to a class, go back in my room, and I would hang out. Or I'd go to track practice. But I never fully engaged into the classroom. But midway through my sophomore year, I think it was in January, I got a call from the Academic Advising Center, and they said, hey, we noticed you haven't picked a major. And I needed to pick a major, and it was extremely stressful, a lot of anxiety. And I went to the center, and at the time there was only about three or four people working there.
So you came to the career center?
Well,
it was
the Academic Advising.
Oh, Academic Advising.
I think that was the name of the center. And they told me that I had to pick a major because I'd basically taken all my gen ed requirements.
Sure.
And I remember not having any clue, being a first gen, had nobody really to talk to. I sat out in the lobby and flipped through the catalog. And I looked at this thing called business because somebody said you'd be good at business. And then I saw it, I had to take stats 215. I had to take some math classes, some accounting classes. And not having anybody to talk to about what business was like, decided to skip it. It looked really hard. Mm-hmm. And I got to public administration. And I didn't look at the program, but what I looked at is the requirements. And I found that the classes looked a little bit interesting, but not a lot of math. And I was terrified of math. So I picked public administration as my major. And when I went in to talk to my academic advisor and said, I picked a major, she said, what? I said, public administration. She said, how did you come to that conclusion? And my answer was, it looks like there's not a lot of math. And, you know, she kind of smiled and she says, I'm hoping there's some deeper passion then.
Right.
And we talked about a class that was required called urban planning or planning.
Mm-hmm.
There was a class on recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a little bit of a draw to the coursework, but it was basically to pacify the requirement going into my junior year to pick a major.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
Not a lot of career exploration. That's for dang sure.
Right. No. Right.
And were those classes what you expected them to be?
Yes, but then I found out that, you know, a lot of the faculty really push you to go work in city government, city management. And at the time, I was absolutely paranoid of public speaking.
Okay.
And when I looked at public positions or city government, you're often given presentations in front of community members. And I also, you know, it's interesting when I think about this now, I did a little research, and when I started looking at what it takes to be good at it,
mm-hmm.
most of the communities you live in as a public administration major working in government, city government, either people love you don't like you or could care less who you are.
Sure.
And I didn't want that.
Yep. Yep. Did you have on-campus jobs or work at all throughout the time that you were a student at Grand Valley?
So I did. I had a lot of financial aid, and you know, I ended up working at the physical plant, and I absolutely loved it. And I worked with custodial services, and a couple of my jobs, you know, one was I was working doing laundry at the physical plant, and I would roll up all the rugs on campus. So one of my jobs were to drive around, pick up all the rugs in the wintertime that were mud-filled, salt-filled, and take them back to be washed. I worked in the Kirchhoff Center for a period of time doing some cleaning. Then I worked in the field house in the laundry room. And at the time, all athletes had these bags, and you had a bag with your number on it, and you'd throw your laundry in the bag, and you'd throw in these huge washers, and it would wash clothes. And I think I liked it because I could really relate to the workers, mm-hmm. and they took an interest in me as a person as well as being a student. And I always credit Grand Valley for having people that took an interest in people, mm-hmm. not just a student. Mm-hmm.
So you're taking classes, you're hunting, are you working at all? Anything like an internship throughout your time as an undergrad?
You know, I ended up doing an internship my senior year, but while I was working at Grand Valley in the physical physical plant, you know, I unfortunately, you know, my roommate and I, we got in some trouble, and we were, you know, to be removed from the Grand Rapids housing program.
Oh, wow.
And this was the second semester of our sophomore year, and we had no place to live because we then found out that the at the time, two off-campus housing facilities wouldn't let either of us live there.
So you were kicked out of on-campus housing and off-campus housing?
Well, basically asked to leave on-campus housing with not a place to go to off-campus.
Sure, okay. Yeah, sure.
You know, and what was really interesting at the time is that I can't disagree with the decision Grand Valley made. But what was interesting about it is that the day of our dismissal hearing, and I tell this story often, the former housing director, unbeknown to me, had been either resigned or lost his job the day before our dismissal hearing. And so my room and I show up, we walk into this big room, and there's somebody from the Grand Valley Police Department, there's somebody from the physical plant, there's somebody from housing, there's somebody from judicial. And we're in this room, and they introduced this guy as the interim director of housing. And his name was Bob Stoll. And at the time, I had no idea who Bob Stoll was, but he walked into the room. He sat down. He read our files. And obviously, he saw that we were a little bit, did some stupid things. And he asked everybody to leave the room but myself and George. And it was really, we had no idea. And we thought, oh, here we are for one more lashing of our behavior. And he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, "What I look at your files, I don't see anything violent, no drugs, no alcohol. I see two bored kids doing stupid things." And Bob said, "I got a plan." He says, and I'm going to bring the rest of the folks into the room in a minute here, but I've always wanted to start a GVSU sportsman club. And he says, "If I'm looking at my current president or future president and vice president of the organization and let the two of you stay in housing, would you start the student organization?" And literally, I mean, I was so, well, first of all, he asked where we're from. And when mm-hmm. we said the UP, Bob had went to school up at Northern Michigan University and was an avid outdoorsman. So there was this common denominator connection. And for the first time, somebody connected with us individually. And then all of a sudden, Andy Beechna, who was at the time the assistant director of housing, kind of comes into our lives. And so Bob kind of gave Andy, "Hey, take care of these two guys. I don't think they're that bad, and I think we can help them." And so Andy then got us really connected. Andy was really good, you know. Andy said, "Basically, I'm going to have you guys work for me." And my first job working for housing was Andy had a weekly newsletter called the John Doerr. Yes, it was called the John Doerr for a reason. It's all the campus events were on an 8x10 piece of paper. My job was to walk through all the dormitories, all the buildings, and tape it on the inside of the bathroom door.
That's amazing.
And actually, I kind of enjoyed it because A, it was a sense of responsibility, but more importantly, I was building a relationship with this guy named Andy Beechnow,
yeah,
who at the time was assistant director of housing. Sure. And it was really kind of cool to have somebody take an interest in me. And so I did that. And the following year, I guess it'd be 2 years later after doing that, Andy approached me and said, "Hey, Troy, we're looking at starting our own security system, our own security on campus. You know the school very well. You know housing very well. You know what students do when they get born or get bored really well. Would you be willing to help start a security student security program? And by the way, I'm going to make you the supervisor." So for a year and a half, I ran Grand Valley on-campus security. What was interesting is my hours went up from a work standpoint, but so did my grades. So did my appreciation for the university and all the things they can do. It's because I saw if you take an interest in somebody, if someone takes an interest in you, mm-hmm, it can be a game changer. So Andy and Bob continue to play a key role in my success.
Right. They both still work here. Absolutely. At the university.
Absolutely.
Which has got to be pretty cool for you to get to work now with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then Bart Markle. Obviously, Bart was the dean of students, I think, in 1983 was his first year when Bob kind of gave us the stay. You know, we could stay in housing. It had to be approved by Bart. And so Bart ultimately met and approved our stay. And so I have this great appreciation for Andy, Bart, and Bob for believing in me as a student, but more importantly, as a person.
And I think what's real interesting about your story is that many students, when they first get to Grand Valley, don't know any folks here. And they might be wondering, well, how can I get connected? How can I meet people? And I think that the end result of your story is also the answer to that question, which is by getting involved somehow. And there's different studies where if you look at it is going to show exactly what you experienced, that getting involved usually will have some positive connection with grades. The exception is when students get over-involved, right?
Yes.
So sometimes we get students who, it's not just we're running one sportsman club. It's I'm on the sportsman club and I'm president of my fraternity and I'm also in residence hall association. And so the key for all of you still trying to figure things out is that you still need balance. You got to balance it out. You still need time for your homework. You need time for schoolwork. And you need some time for yourself, even if it's just to, you know, catch up on your favorite Netflix show.
But I think too, Carlos, you know, to kind of add to that is, and I agree with everything you just said, but I also think, you know, we seem to spend a lot of time with the students who get involved. My main concern is how do we reach out to the students who are not involved? Mm-hmm. And there's many reasons why they're not involved.
Yeah.
You know, it could be work, it could be family, they're a non-traditional student, you know, they're commuting from 30, 40 miles away. And what I find is that we don't need to get them involved. We need to show we care. And we need to ask them, how can we be of assistance? And they're hard to find, but they're there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear me talk all the time about walk and talk. Mm-hmm. You know, meet a student every day and get to know who they are and where they're from. And the next thing you know, you'll probably likely see them on your appointment calendar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, something else that really stood out to me when you were telling that story is that staying connected somehow yielded results sort of year after year for you. It led to new opportunities. So now you've ran a couple of clubs, you've ran security on campus. How do you begin to transition out of Grand Valley? How does that process look like
so
for you?
So that was really hard for me.
Yeah.
You know, this is an interesting part of the story, and obviously it's kind of a, you know, there's no rating on this. But I ended up dating my supervisor when I was working campus security.
Wow. This podcast could take a turn now, couldn't it?
And so we started to date, and the next thing I know, I decided to go to grad school at Grand Valley in the higher ed program, not so much because I loved higher ed, but I really liked my supervisor, and she was going to be working at Grand Valley for a few years. So I went into the higher ed program, and I became a graduate assistant in housing. And, you know,
you did that right out of undergrad.
Right out of undergrad. Okay. Yeah, no experiences, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I was probably in love.
And you had had, it sounds like, a good experience as an undergrad.
I had a great gig.
Things really ended well.
And I found people who cared about me at the institution. Mm-hmm. And they were still all here. Mm-hmm. So to leave and go to this big city called Grand Rapids at the time, or to leave the security blanket of Grand Valley, would have been really difficult because I still had no idea what I wanted to do or what I even could do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my strengths. I didn't know my weaknesses. I just knew I had a major. I had an average GPA, but I really loved Grand Valley. So I interviewed for a graduate assistant position in running housing, or I say working in housing. I managed 4 living centers, and it was probably, from a coursework standpoint, I enjoyed it, but the work might have been the most miserable thing I ever did.
Just not a good fit for you? Or
well,
what was
I was miserable? Doing it for probably the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. And when you look at what it takes to run a living center, actually 4 living centers, attention to detail. Highly structured. Sure. No, Megan's already laughing. And so is Carlos. You know, they know me.
Yeah, we've worked with Ryan for a few years.
But it wasn't really what I was good at. In Andy Beach now, so you hear that name often, mm-hmm. You know, midway through, he pulled me aside and said, hey, listen, let's meet. Because this isn't working for you. I know it, and it's not working for me. I can show it. But there's some things I think you can do for me. And still be a grad assistant. So he pulled me out of that environment. And for the first time, I felt failure. Mm. You know, I let the school down. I let Andy Beachnod down. But Andy didn't word it that way. It's just what I kind of felt. Really what he was doing is propping me up. He saw it was not a good fit. He could see that it really wasn't something I was into. But he knew I had value to the institution. And Andy always heard me talking about how the processes at Grand Valley for how we did things, especially in housing, from furniture, from parts, from inventory, from bunking beds to couches, we had no control. We had no idea where things were. We just threw them in storage units. So Andy gave me a job to go through every single storage unit in inventory, every single part, every bolt, every nut, and I absolutely loved it. Loved it. Because then I knew when somebody had a question about, hey, do we have any extra couches? Do we have extra bed frames? Do we have these size screws? Mm-hmm. I knew where they were. And so I had this control. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed was there were some business features into that. I put together a spreadsheet. Back then it was called Lotus. I put a spreadsheet together for Andy, which he was really impressed with. I started doing some accounting functions. So I found that, if you remember early in the podcast I talked about, I stopped at that business major.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of went through it because I looked at the courses. I was reverting back to that with this new role Andy put me in. And with you know, I think I had 24 credit hours complete in the grad program, I decided it was time to leave. And so I left the institution to go work for a business.
So that still had to be quite an interesting transition for you.
It was a
to move
really
outside of higher education.
Yes.
Completely. So
yes.
What did that very first connection to that position look like? Was it an instance of not what you know, who you know?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yes. I didn't know what I didn't know. And the only thing I knew was Grand Valley and higher ed. Mm-hmm. I decided to find this place called the Career Center on campus. At the time, it was called, I think, Placement Services. And the only reason I knew how to get there is that there was a friend when I was going to school who said his dad's name was Tom Sikora, or at the time, to me, Mr. Decora, who was the director of the Career Center. And so when I made that decision to leave Grand Valley, I had no idea. The only way I knew how to search for jobs, and I know everybody listening will get a laugh at this, was the classified ads in the newspaper.
Yes.
On Sunday mornings.
That's amazing.
You know, and I started looking at all these jobs, and I couldn't find anything that seemed to be a fit. So I remember talking to Phil, and I said, hey, Phil, do you think your dad would meet with me? I had no idea that the Career Placement Services, that was for us. And so I showed up there. I met Ginger Lang, who obviously worked in the Career Center for a long time. And I went in there, and I was really nervous. I did not have a resume. Mm. I did not have one. And I walked in there, and at the time, Tom was a unique guy. Loved him to pieces. He was helping me. We're talking about a resume. And all of a sudden, his phone rang. And he started talking to this company. And during the conversation, he kept saying, I do know somebody. You know, yep, you're a new company. We'll put it on our placement brochure that you're looking for this candidate. But he goes, I have a young man I'm going to send over your way who I think could do a really good job. And I'm sitting in my chair going, dang, I wish I knew who this young man is, but Tom Sikora knows him really well.
Right.
So he gets off the phone and says, there you go, your first lead.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, what? He said, I just got a call from this company called Notions Marketing Corporation looking for somebody. And he said, I told them you'd stop in and drop off your resume. Wow. I said, that was me you're talking about? I said, but you don't know me that well. He goes, no, but they don't know that, but you seem to be a fine young man.
That's
so
great.
So I left there on cloud nine. I'm mm-hmm. just feeling really good. And drove to Notions Marketing Corporation with this resume that we put together, walked in there, did not identify who I was. I didn't ask Tom what the protocol was. And so I showed up there. Well, they happened to have open interviews for their warehouse that day. And when I showed up there, I filled out an application on a clipboard. And then I got an interview. And during the interview, they said, we noticed you have a college degree. Why are you applying for a job
oh
in a
goodness.
Warehouse? And long
we're
story.
Not in the right place.
Not in the right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Long story is, and it actually became a pretty cool icebreaker for my real interview.
That's,
because
yeah.
I had zero interview experience. I was relatively introverted at that time and very insecure about this business world. And then the story kind of goes on from there, but it was really a great, great run.
That's great.
Yeah. And you know, we know that later on in time, you end up returning back to the Career Center. Maybe that's a future episode. But one of the big reasons why we were really interested in having you come here is because you do a great job at telling your story, but specifically telling your story in a way that relates to your particular goal, topic. And that's key when it comes to interviewing or networking. Is there any advice that you would give to folks who are maybe today feeling a little introverted like you did one day? Yeah. Maybe things that you found out worked for you to improve those skills?
You know, I do. I think that, you know, based on this story, you know, I'm not uncommon. There is a bunch of Troys out there today walking around this campus. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people think they know what they might want to do based on maybe some Google searches. Based on some light conversations, but really take advantage of the Career Center. Take advantage of the services that are available at Grand Valley. Take advantage of the relationships you build. Mm-hmm. Ask them the tough questions. Ask them, what do you think I'd be good at? And then go down that road. You're going to find that Grand Valley has some amazing resources, both in the Career Center and in the relationships you build. And I guarantee you that they're going to be willing to help you build some bridges with employers, mm-hmm. to do some employer investigation before you pick a major, before you start interviewing for that first internship or full-time job.
Sure. Do you think that would have been helpful looking back if you had maybe gotten the chance to do a job shadow in the business world before you even chose the public administration major?
So the answer is yes. I really do. But at the same time, Megan, I look back, it was a fun ride.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I learned probably more from what I did, what I probably either shouldn't have done or maybe with some better information wouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was very, very informational to my career path.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know, one tool that has worked well for some students would be coming in to do mock interviews. So when they come in to do a mock interview in our center, we have a little camera. You'll feel awkward at first. We do record you. But then we can watch it back together and work on strategies on how to better tell your story, how to better relate your answers to your personal talking points. So what that means is that the interviewer can ask you a variety of questions, but you should still be able to communicate those key things that you want them to know about who you are, your experiences, and Troy's someone who I've seen do that very well when he's speaking to different groups over time. You know, another thing I've noticed about you that I think is a really strong feature when it comes to meeting new people is you have a habit of asking somebody where's home or where you're from, and then telling them something about their hometown. Where does that come from, and why do you do it?
You know, I think it's because what I've realized is that everybody, including myself, we're very, very proud of our hometown. We're very proud of where we're from. And sometimes we fail to realize that. And when I look at my background at Grand Valley, it wasn't until the Bob and Andy took an interest in me as a person and where I was from that I really connect with them. Other than that, I thought a lot of the relationships were superficial. And what I have found is that, first of all, I love Michigan. I love the country. I love the world. So I love history. And I find that when you find out where somebody's from, A, they get very passionate, mm-hmm. very, very passionate. And two, or B, we can learn something. You know, when I ask the question where you're from, I usually do a follow-up. Tell me one or two things about your town I would never find on Wikipedia or by watching the news. And I find some just absolutely amazing facts and tidbits of information mm-hmm. that I really do care about and yeah. passionate about learning.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen many times. You see the sparkle in the person's eyes right away, and you see that you've got their attention. Everyone doesn't have that same personality, though, and so I think a nice little takeaway is make sure that your interaction is not solely about yourself. So there's a misconception out there that networking is really about what can I get from you? What can this person get from me? When one of the things I've learned just kind of through watching you interact with folks, that a lot of it at the foundational level is just trying to build an authentic relationship. If maybe we can interact and support each other, that works too. But at the foundational level is, hey, how are you doing? And I think you're really strong at that.
Yeah. And I think, Carlos, I think, you know, that whole foundational level is so important to build to have a meaningful conversation. We first have to care about each other, and we have to trust each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell students all the time, you know, I'm going to build a relationship with you as a person, and then we'll work on the academic side, the resume, the interview skills, the job search, the internship search. But I'm not unique. Most people want to get to know you.
Yeah.
But most people sometimes don't know how to start the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I tell students, when you walk into somebody's office, it's intimidating. I don't care who you are. Find some pictures, find some decoration, find something that they have in their office that you can connect with. If you're in a golf and they got a picture of a golf course in there, ask them about it. If they got a picture of their family, they're on Niagara Falls and you see the falls in the background, you were on vacation there, ask about that. Mm-hmm. Because if you can develop that foundation, the rest of the conversation is pretty natural.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you say that's also some of the building blocks of storytelling? Being able to have that conversation, just to be able to speak naturally to someone else about who you are, to tell your story, does make that so much easier when you are going up to a stranger in, you know, more of a forced networking position.
Megan, I am so glad during the course of this interview that you brought up storytelling, because that is one of the most important topics we fail to realize, that the ability to tell your story. And believe people want to know it. Mm-hmm. People care right. about it. It's right. interesting. It's fun. It's entertaining. Getting to know who you are. And as you know, my story has bumps and bruises. Mm-hmm. Most people's story does. Right. And that's okay.
Right. Yep.
You know what? I don't want to take more time of yours up today. I can't even speak right now. It's early. We really appreciate the time you've given us today, Troy. We'll definitely bring you back another day, maybe learn a bit more about how you transitioned mid-career from the business world back into that space where, you know, you left. And so you came back to higher ed. You've been with us ever since. We're happy to have you. Any parting words of wisdom for your new fans?
my new fans. Thanks for having me here.
Your Twitter followers are going to go up now.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun, but I think it's important that you understand that the folks that work in the Career Center all have stories like mine. Mm-hmm. Might be a little bit different, but I guarantee you're going to enjoy listening to their story too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much, folks, and you know, join us next time as we keep on sharing a bit more about the career world, professional development, and just kind of hanging out, getting to know us. We hope you stay tuned. Thank you.